focus on Him because He is indeed the Lamb of God that was sacrificed since the foundation of the world. Thank you, Carol. When Mike Pemberton says the fishing was good, that is a code they have to use because over in India, people are persecuted and they cannot allow the Indians' government to know why they're there. So the fishing was good, meaning they won a lot of people to the Lord, okay? That's what that meant. It wasn't he was fishing. He was winning people to Christ. So we praise the Lord for that. Do you have a favorite song? Any of you have a favorite song? A song that is your favorite gospel hymn? Well, did you know that if you were a mountain climber, your favorite hymn might be, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Or maybe you're a dentist, and you would sing, crown him with many crowns. I don't know, possibility. Or, as it might be, you could possibly be a, let me think here a minute, a meteorologist. And you might sing, there shall be showers of blessing. You might sing that song. Or it could possibly be you're a tailor. Holy, 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 Or maybe a politician, you know, standing on the promises. Or maybe you could be an optometrist and say, open my eyes that I might see. Or an electrician, send the light. Send the light. And then we could probably use a lot of more gossips. Pass it on. Now, in respective of that, if you're really going to live a life of peace in Jesus Christ, it would be well that you're pressing on the upward way. That would be a necessity for you to experience. And you need to crown Him the Lord of your life. He is the Lord of lords, King of kings, and you need to crown Him as the Lord of your life. And it may well be that you need to understand that every day, every good gift that you receive comes down from your Father, from heaven. And they are showers, and they are showers of blessings. If you're going to live a life of peace, then you need to be recognizing that God is holy. And He is holy. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. He's a holy God. If you're going to live a life of peace, may well be, yet you need to open your eyes and pray to God that you might see. And have just simply a glimpse, if you will, of the fact that Jesus is indeed the Prince of Peace. In fact, as Christians, we are to pass it on. The point is, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, we're to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I believe the cross was God's answer to bring peace in the world, not only between us and God, but between one another. And that the cross is God's medium that brings us together and make us one big family. Doesn't matter our nationality, our education, who we are. The fact is that we all become a part of the family of God. God is our Father. Jesus is our brother. And we all become brothers and sisters together in Christ. Amen? Yet, as you see and as we know, we need to again just remind ourselves of what we've already looked at. We need to, again, make sure that we understand that this world will not give you peace. If you're thinking somehow you're going to find peace in this world, you're fooling yourself. God is the only source of peace. God is the only source of peace. In Psalms 29 and 11, it said, the Lord will bless His people with peace. He will bless His people with peace. In John 14, 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, my peace I give unto you. So you and I need to get this in our heads. As long as you live in this world, you are not going to find peace in this element of this world. Because this world is under the control of the prince of the air, who happens to be the devil. And he is not the author of peace. He is not. Never will be. Jesus said, "Fear not, little ones." He said, "In this world you will have tribulation. But fear not, I have overcome the world." Amen. Jesus said that in this world there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Now what he said? There will not be peace on earth, even though it was announced by the angels to the shepherds that Jesus was born unto them and unto us, and peace on earth, goodwill to men. That is the message of the gospel. That's the message of the cross, and we need to understand that. So what is the keys? If the keys are going to unlock your heart to the peace of God, the number one key again is God is sovereign. You need to understand that God is in control. And you need to put your life under His control. Too many of us have still got hold of the reins of our lives. And we're frustrated. We're filled with anxiety. We're fearful. We don't have any idea what tomorrow might hold. But I know who holds tomorrow. I know Him who is in control. He's in control of my life. And all things work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Put your hands, your life, in the hands of the man who's in control. Okay? Secondly, you need to know that God promises that He'll never forsake you, nor will He ever leave you. I know politicians don't keep their promises, but God is faithful. Bible says, "Do not waver, for he who promised is faithful." God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That's what He promises. You are never alone. Never. 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 Because as it goes on in Hebrews 13, God will not forsake us, nor will He leave us. Therefore, He is the present helper in time of need. He's there for you. But it's up to you whether you allow Him to be in control and you allow Him to be, as it is, sovereign in your life. Number three, I believe, is all is the essence of being at peace is to know that God is all power. That God's all power. There's nothing impossible with God. You believe that? I believe that if God is for me, nothing can be against me. How do you feel? I believe that the Bible says nothing can separate me from the love of God. That's the fourth point, is God loves me. And He proved that by allowing His Son to die for me. Amen? Nothing can separate me from His love, not even death. No principalities, no powers, nothing in the air, in the sea, in the earth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. So God is sovereign. God will never forsake you. God is all power, and He loves you and me. He loves you and me. You won't find peace until that becomes the foundation of your walk with the Prince of Peace. Okay? We have to be at peace with ourselves. All right? We have to be at peace with ourselves before you can be at peace with others and before you can be at peace with God. Some of you just need to make peace with yourself. Just make peace with yourself. The Bible says, love your neighbor. Bible says, love your neighbor. You have a hard time saying that? Jesus said the first commandment is love God with your whole being, right? And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do you feel when you look at that person you see every morning in the mirror? How do you feel about that person? Do you like what you see? Do you love the person you're looking at? Do you get it? You understand that? You understand the principle behind that? It's so important. It really is. It really is. And the old saying goes, you treat people like dirt, you're going to feel like dirt. Okay? It also says, and I think this is really good, I like this one, I shared it with you last week, you see, every flower that ever is going to bloom has to go through a lot of dirt to get there. Right? Huh? My life was treated like that. I had dirt in my life. I came out of a dysfunctional family. My father committed suicide when I was 6 months old. My mother married an alcoholic. We lived like that for years and years and years, and aspects of that, and yet God was at work in my life. He was. No ifs, and buts about it. I remember going up on this big hill, laying there in the high grass, looking at the cloud, and talking to God over and over and over and over and over again. And He became the very focus of my life. And there's just no question about God's purpose for me. But I went through a lot of dirt. I still have gone through some dirt. I've been lied about. A lot of things happen in people's lives. You know that? Huh? But it's made me stronger. It's given me more understanding and compassion. And I've learned wisdom from it all. I really have. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the family I came out of, because it's made me a better person. Isn't that amazing? Yeah? Think about it. For the heart of God for all of us is that we experience peace. Do you really believe that God wants you to experience peace? Peace with Him. Jesus came to reconcile us, to bring peace between us and God, but He came to bridge the gap between us and one another and to build a family that would walk together in peace. God wants us to experience peace. You've got to believe that. That God wants us to have peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. What is the author of? Peace. Peace. So if you're not at peace with God, nor at yourself, what's the problem? I said, what's the problem? You either haven't made God sovereign in your life, you somehow just think God doesn't like you, He doesn't love you, that He doesn't have any care for you, and that you feel forsaken and all by yourself. A lot of people feel that way. A lot of people don't understand that God is all power, that there's nothing that God cannot do. Doesn't matter what it is, God can do it, He will do it, and He promises that He will bring peace into your life. If you let Him, and you got to believe with all your heart, no questions asked, God loves you. He proved it by letting Jesus die on the cross for you. Okay? So when you and I think of Romans 14:17 said, Paul says, the kingdom of God is not eating, it's not drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I like that one. The kingdom of God, that's who we are. We're citizens in God's kingdom. And it is not eating and drinking, even though we're going to be doing some of that in the next Sunday mornings. I'm looking forward to getting fed up with you, all right? I hope you come and share and get fed up with me, if you will, okay? Point is that the kingdom of God is not that element. It is righteousness. It is peace. And it is joy. Just remember that. Peace and joy. Again, you need to understand this principle. The fruit of the Spirit that God gave you at your birth. You were born of the water and of the Spirit. And you received God's gift of His indwelling in your temple inside of you when you became a Christian. God took over and now He dwells in you. And your body has become the temple of God and the Spirit of God is in you. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. You see, God knew that we could not produce peace. So He gave us the power. He put it within us. God did not give you a spirit of timidity. He gave you a spirit of power. The fruit of God's Spirit is to produce love and joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, self-control, and all the others. And there's no law against that, is there? Huh? No, there isn't. So remember, it cost God. It cost Him His Son. His Son had to pay the price for you, right? He gave His life for you, died on the cross for you. So if you're going to live at peace with people, even in your own home, they may cost you something. On the Sermon on the Mount, if you believe it is indeed the heart of God, the Bible says right there that Jesus, when He went up on the Mount And he opened up his mouth, the word, the Greek background. He opened up his heart. He poured out his heart in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He just poured it out in those three verses, chapters. And this is what he said. If you're going to live at peace, he said, turn the other cheek. Didn't he say that? Somebody hits you on the right, give them your left, right? And he said that. Is that pretty observing? Go the second mile. You remember that? Somebody asked you to go a mile, you go two. Remember that one? How about love your enemies? Do good unto those who despitefully use you and pray for them. How about bless them who curse you? He said that all in those chapters as he pours out his heart to us. Do good to those who hate you. Wow. Think about that one. Pray for those who persecute you. It's all there. That's his heart. He's talking to you and me this morning through that concept. Someone asks you to go to a mile, you go with them too. Forgive, that you might be forgiven. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your trespasses against him. Right? So if you've been treated like dirt, then the only way you're going to be set free from the people who treated you like dirt, so they're not controlling you anymore, they're not having any impact on who you are today, you got to forgive them. That's what I had to do. You have to forgive. And if you don't forgive people for the dirt they've thrown on your life, they're still in control. I said they're still in control. They're still controlling your life, whether you like it or not. So if you're going to move on and climb the mountain, God, Paul said it before he said that. He said, this one thing I do. Remember what he said? I forget the things that lies behind me, and I press on toward the mark of the high calling of God that I've received in Christ Jesus. Some people will never have peace because they can't forget. They can't forget. Also, if that sermon, I know this is, I know you don't want this one. I know you don't. I know you don't. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. He said, today has enough problems of its own. In fact, he said, all the worry in the world won't add one inch to your height. Have you grown with all the worrying you've done? And how much of what you have worried about really has happened? In fact, it's been proven that 98% of what you worry about never occurs. Why? Because I believe God is in control of my life. I don't worry. Why don't I worry? Because he told me don't. And he also said, cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God, accompanied with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding and comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds. Wow. Wow. So when all the activity of this world is done with and it all comes to the common denominator as far as life is concerned, I find, according to this book, there are only two forces going on in the world today. One is the force of evil and the other is the force of good. Jesus said we'll stand before God at the judgment day and people are going to be judged what they have done in the body, whether it be good or evil. That's what he said. Isn't that what it says? What does your Bible say? Same thing, doesn't it? So there are two forces in the world today. One force is from good and the other force is evil, right? Right? Yeah, it is. So God and Satan are in direct opposition to one another. There is a spiritual warfare going on in the universe. And what you do is you make your choice of whose side you're going to be on. Whether you're going to be on the good side or the bad side, okay? And Jesus said, either you're for me. Well, a lot of people say, well, I'm not against Jesus or whatever. I mean, I have nothing against Jesus. I think he was a good man and all that. My question is, are you for him? Because if you're not for him, Jesus said you're really against him. Why? Because Jesus knows what's going on in the world today. In fact, he said, woe to the world, because he said, I saw Satan cast like lightning down there upon this earth. Isn't that what he said? Yeah, he did. And so we have this element that is in the world today, light against darkness. And darkness hates light. And know what Jesus said? Don't be surprised. They hated me. They'll hate you. In fact, as I understand, according to Colossians 1 and 12, you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son when you became a Christian. Wow. You were taken out of the kingdom that Satan rules over, and you've been put in the light. And we're to walk in the light, because in God there is no darkness at all. He is light, right? So there is those battles. There's that element going on in the aspect. And I guess when you get down to the nitty-gritty, it's truth versus lies, right? What is true? What isn't? What is true and what isn't? As far as I'm concerned, there's only one true source of truth, and that's right here. Jesus said, my word is spirit and it is truth. And anything that disagrees with what this book says is a lie. Oh, by the way, Jesus said, Satan is the father of all lies. Right? Yeah. So we got truth and lies. And therefore, the only way I'm going to discern and not be deceived and be misled is I got to know what the book says. And walk in the truth. Right? Walk in the truth. So in this spiritual warfare that's going on in the universe today, there's no question that it is there. And it's a very unique part. And for that element. James says, if you want to turn there, but we read it today. You see, there are only two wisdoms in the world today. There is a wisdom that is in direct opposition to one another. There's a wisdom of this world, and there's a wisdom that comes from above. And the wisdom of this earth, according to James, among who is wise and understanding, let him show in his good behavior his deeds and the gentleness of what? But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, do not be puffed up, arrogant, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, and so lie against the truth, this wisdom is not that which comes down from God. It is earthly, natural, demonic, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But, the wisdom from above is first what? Pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make. Oh my. What did Jesus say? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So where is your wisdom? What do you see mostly in your life? Okay? Is it the wisdom that comes from above, or is it the wisdom that is of this earth? Are you a jealous person? Are you arrogant? Are you envious of other people? All those aspects and so on are of this, and they are earthly, they're natural, and they are demonic. Do you hear that word? They're of the devil. They're the devil. There's only two wisdoms, one from above and the other that has to be the product of the devil himself. And what one do you see manifested more than any of the other? Remember it said what? The wisdom from above is pure and it's peaceable. Peaceable. Know what it said? It's peaceable. Not only that, but it's reasonable. Reasonable. Not only that, but it's merciful. Merciful is to show mercy. Mercy is to experience with another person what they are going through and actually lead you to the other element. Because what is the God desire of you? But that you show mercy and that you walk humbly with your God. What else does He ask of us? Is that we show compassion. Church is filled with a bunch of Pharisees today. Judging one another, criticizing one another, whatever. So what happened? Disorder, every evil thing, churches split, all types of things happen inside, and they begin to devour one another and eat up one another, and you've heard of all of that. Amen? It happens, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Where does that wisdom come from? It doesn't come from God, because God is not the author of confusion, but He is the God of peace. Amen? 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 And it says, all the seed that is sown in righteousness, and the word righteousness, all the seed that is sown in our walking in obedience to the will of God, righteousness is obedient. You are declared righteous by obeying God's laws and principles that are laid out in this book. So that which is sown in righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Okay? It said the wisdom from above is peaceable and reasonable. You know how you get that wisdom? Well, James 1, before he introduces those two, he tells you where to get it. James chapter 1, verse 5 and 8. Are you listening? Say yes. Okay. It says, if you are encountering various trials and difficulties and whatever it might be, then those trials are going to put your faith to a test of what sort it is. But in the process, it's going to refine your faith like fire refines gold, and all the impurities and everything that's in your life, is God is going to clear them out of you, okay, so to speak. And that what's going to happen is, it's going to grow you up. You're going to become mature and complete. That's why I thank God for the issues that I've gone through in my life. I pray for God to help me to mature as a result of them. Not to get down, lay down like a baby and cry and feel and have my pity parties and whatever. I've never found that to cure anything in my life, have you? No, but the point is, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach. Okay? Without reproach. That doesn't mean He looks at you and says, well, you're educated and you're not, you're poor, you're rich, you're whatever. If you ask, God doesn't look at you at who you are. It's the fact that you have faith and you're asking Him. You're believing that God is the source of wisdom. And it will be given him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. Wow. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And then verse 7, for that man might not and should not expect anything from God, being double-minded, unstable, in all the ways. That's what he says. See, you can't say you believe in God who is sovereign. Are you listening? You can't believe that you believe in God who says He'll never forsake you and never leave you. You can't say you believe in God when you know that the Bible declares there's nothing impossible, that if God is for you, nothing can be against you. You can't believe and say you really believe in the God of this book if you don't really know how much He really loved you and proved it. You got it? So if you're going to ask God for wisdom, that is to take the knowledge you have and properly apply it to life. That's what wisdom is. We got a lot of educated fools in the world today, don't we? But we don't have a lot of common sense. You know what my granddad used to say? Common sense, horse sense comes from a stable mind. That's what granddad used to say. Horse sense comes from a stable mind, Billy. I was Billy. Okay? Point is that true? Because if you have faith and you believe that when you ask for wisdom, God's going to give it to you. But if you doubt, what is he saying? You're claiming to believe in a God who is sovereign, who never leaves you, who loves you, is all powerful, but you doubt that he's going to do what he promises you to do? He promises to give you wisdom. Right? Yes, he does. And if you doubt it, then what does he say? You're like a ship out in the winds of the sea, beaten about by the surf. No stability whatsoever. You know what he says? unwavering, wavering all over the place. It's not stable in one's life. The aspect is that you need to be, and I need to be, pursuing not only peace, but I need to be pursuing the wisdom that comes from God. Amen. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it is up to you, live at peace with all men. Well, just take the principles of Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and apply them. Or look at Christian love. Because agape love is sacrificial love. It is not feeling, emotions, and whatever. Agape love will always seek the highest good of the object of that love. Always. No matter how disappointed or how fruitless it might be, whatever one has to toil through, whatever the difficulties might be, if I say to my wife, Marilyn, and I have no issues with Marilyn, I got the sweetest thing walking this side of heaven. I mean that seriously. But if I say to Marilyn, I love her, agape her, doesn't matter what and who she is, it's me. I am love. It's a verb. You know that, don't you? That means I'm kind, I'm patient, I'm forgiving, I endure all things, I believe all things. 1 Corinthians 13. See, the problem is we are in this aspect, have the wisdom of the world. We think love is emotion, feeling. I don't feel like I used to about her. You know what I tell people? That's too bad. That's a bunch of hogwash because relationships aren't based on feeling. It has to be based on the love of God, agape love, and that's the only kind of love that's going to build pure, reasonable, peaceful marriages today. Not going to happen any other way. So anyway, I'm at peace. There's a peace inside of me that I don't care. You will never take it from me. The world won't take it from me. Nobody can take it from me. I won't allow it. I have a choice. Don't you? You see, as far as this peace is concerned, I've had trials. And I know I'm going to still have them. I don't know what they are, and I don't know who care. I just know, by faith, that I'm going to get through it with God's help. That nothing can overcome me, that I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. I have that peace. I have that peace. And I believe there's a peace that's there to stay. It's there to stay. Why? Why? Because I really believe God is sovereign. I believe God is in control of my life. And I believe I can see and look at my past and see how God has taken all the dirt and everything I've gone through and made and brought an unbelievable good into my life and made me stronger, more mature, more wise, more understanding, more caring, and more compassionate towards people and wanting to bear one another's burdens. Thus fulfill the law of God. I believe that God will never leave me. I believe He'll never forsake me. I just know that, I know that, I know that, and I know that no matter what, when I get up, I live and I walk every day, I believe that God's right here. My body has become the temple of the living God, and the power of the living God is inside of me. And God is able to do far more abundantly beyond what I even dream or ask through the power that's at work in me. I believe God is all power. I believe God is in me. That gives me power. You get what I said? And I have no doubt in my mind God loves me. I know He loves me. I know it because He's given me people like you in my life. Right? And because He loves me, we're to love one another, right? The aspects of all of that, yeah. Yeah. Why do we and how can we love? Because we've first been loved by God. That's the kind of love we need to be sharing with one another. And that kind of love is peaceable. Amen? Amen? Yeah, it is. It really is. So, how about your God? How about the God you believe in? You believe in the same God that this book tells you? You believe in this God, or do you believe in the God that you somehow have developed in your own mind and you're putting limits on Him? Have you? You believe that He's able to keep His promises? Are you standing on the promises? Are you pressing on? Are you pressing on that no matter how high the mountain looks, are you still climbing? Are you? Huh? Are you still climbing? Are you still willing to understand and to acknowledge Him that He is indeed holy? And there's nothing that God can do that is evil. He's a holy God. Isn't He? So how about your God? Because that God desires you to be living a life of peace. You see, the first thing you got to do, though, is acknowledge Jesus as the Prince of Peace. First thing, anything in every aspect of it, as I confess, you confess, but I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I believe He came to and He died for me. Why did He die for me? To bring and to create an avenue, a bridge by which I could enter back into a friendly, right relationship with God and be at peace with God. And as I've grown to come to know Jesus Christ and know His Word, I know that there are certain elements of truth that comes to understanding that I have to put those and live them. And if I live the principles that are here, I'm going to be at peace with you. Right? Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called sons of God. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you've never been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sin, that you might receive the power, the indwelling of God Himself, then that's what this book says you have to do. And we'd encourage you to talk to us, share with us, study with us, whatever, so we can lead you into a right relationship with the Prince of Peace. So you can have that peace too. So we stand. How many of you have been singing, "I Got Peace Like a River"? Anybody find yourself humming it? Anybody got yourself, find yourself in an aspect? So let's sing it again. Come on, stand up. "I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river." All right? In my soul, right, Ray? Amen. Amen. I got peace like a river. I got peace.